The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, what will make this worthwhile is if everybody that comes to this place has a touch of God's presence, has a tangible touch of God's power. Amen. That will be worthwhile. But we're going to look into the word. Bro Yemi told us that we must be people of the word and prayer. What will remain with you long after the feeling? Because there are sometimes the presence of God will come and you feel goosebumps. I don't even know how to explain that. It's superior to goosebumps. You feel the presence of God. I felt it when I stood here. I think I touched you. You know, I don't even remember whether I touched you, because I was just moving in the spirit. I was feeling the presence of God literally in my body. You can feel the presence of God in your body. That's why some people fall under anointing, because they can't stand that dimension. So they fall. And there's nothing wrong with falling. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel had an encounter with God, he fell down. It wasn't that he prostrated. He fell like a dead man. And the Bible says in Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel chapter 2, the Spirit of God, God spoke to him and told him to stand up. And the Spirit of God came into him and set him on his feet. Because he took the empowerment of the Spirit of God to carry him on his feet. Have you seen where people are under the power of God that they cannot stand up? And then, I've seen it before, and then, there is a dimension of the power of God that can be released upon them to help them to stand up. I can show you in the scripture that falling under anointing is not out of order. One reason why people don't fall, many times, is because there is a dimension of the presence of God that will make people fall. And it's not wrong. Sometimes that falling thing now becomes a distraction. That's why some of us say, see, don't be too focused on falling. Be focused on what Jesus is doing. But the power of God actually can make you fall. And my prayer is that God will cause for you to know the power of God in the full voltage, the full measure. So that when you see people falling under anointing, you will not be laughing and say, hey, what's wrong with these people? When you experience, I can feel an angel of God just walked in. And I can feel that I felt it. I felt it here. I felt a certain heat. Now, I don't feel these feelings when I'm watching film. I don't feel this feeling when I'm discussing. I only feel these feelings when I'm in the presence of God. There are sometimes that I pray, I'll feel the anointing of God upon my hand as a serious heat. Praise the Lord. As you grow in your walk with God, you will begin to have signs like that. Those are signs in your body of the presence of God. Some of you have it, but you didn't know what it is. When you are praying, you begin to have certain signs, especially when you are truly praying in the spirit and you are praying fervent prayers, heartfelt prayers. You are praying sincere prayers. You are praying diligently. You begin to have some of those signs, but you just think it's normal. You are praying and all of a sudden, you begin to feel a certain heat on a part of your body. But you don't ever feel that way, except you are praying. And then you feel it's ordinary. You feel it's rheumatism. Where does rheumatism only come when you are praying? Praise the Lord. Why am I saying all of this? Because when you begin to know the signs and the signals of the Spirit, it will be easy for you to move with Him. For sometimes it's easier for me to minister to the sick when I feel that certain heat in my heart. But there are sometimes I prayed for the sick and I didn't feel anything and the sick was healed. Because God in His sovereign will, you know, healed them, not necessarily through His anointing upon my life. You see, God does things in different ways. God can walk through your gift. What is your gift? Your gift is a channel, is an open channel. I'm trying to look for words to express this. Your gift is a consistent channel of the flow of a manifestation of the grace of God. So, for example, if you have the gift of tongues and you pray in the spirit, you pray in tongues, that is a channel of the spirit that has been opened to you. So, for example, if you pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues, you may discover that it will help you. It will help the environment to be filled more with the presence and power of God than if you are not praying in the spirit of God. You are not praying in the spirit. Praise the Lord. The gift, if you have the gift of prophecy, for example, because the Holy Spirit is there, and if you are born again, you have a measure of the Spirit within you. And that measure of the Spirit is within you for the sake of your spirit man. You tap into that measure of the Spirit. One of the most effective ways, as Brother Yemi was teaching us earlier, one of the most effective ways you tap into that measure, into a measure of the Spirit, so that the Spirit, the power of the Spirit will not just be localized in your spirit, but it can manifest outwardly, is through the ministry of the Word and by prayer. That is one. Because you are born again, you have a measure of the Spirit within you. Secondly, another way that you tap into that measure, it's just like there's electricity in this building. You know, there's, if these fans are not here, you will not know that there is electricity, there's light. Just imagine that there was light, there are wires inside the wall. Good wires. This one can power an air conditioner. This one can't, because of the kind of wire. But do you know that if there was no socket, and there was no fan, and there was no light bulb inside this room, it doesn't change the fact that there's light inside this room. But how will you know? You know the wires that are inside the wall, we know that there is light. Eh? That's how your spirit that is inside you knows that you have the Spirit. The Bible says our spirits bear witness with the Spirit of God that we are sons of God. Thank you. You see? Light. If there was no fan and there was no light bulb and there was no socket, there would be no manifestation of the light. That is how it is. That's what spiritual gifts are. They give expression to the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you. Praise the Lord. Now, it's very possible for the electricity, the voltage inside the wires to be very high. Very potent. It can carry anything. But there is no appliance, there is no electronic for it to manifest through. And it's possible that the voltage is low. It's not so high, it's low. But there is appliance and everybody knows that there's light. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, there are some believers that the voltage is low because there is a technology to increase the voltage. It's not every, if you bring AC here now, the voltage is not good. The current is not good. It won't carry the AC, but it will carry the fan. That's why there are some people that have spiritual gifts. They have the Holy Spirit, but the measure of the Spirit they have cannot do some things, but it can do some things. There are some people, they can cast out many demons, but they cannot cast out all demons. And there is a technology to increase the voltage, to increase the power, the measure. It's called multiplying of grace. But let's go back to the channel of gifts, because that's one channel of the Spirit. It's called gifts. Like the fan, it gives expression. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power of the fact that you are, that's why somebody can give their lives today and they will start speaking in tongues today. Because that gift was giving expression to a new life, a new power that they have in their spirits. That's why it is possible for somebody to be born again today and they will prophesy today. But it's usually easier for them to speak in tongues than for them to prophesy, because gifts have a hierarchy. Apostle Paul said that speaking in tongues is greater. Sorry, prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is greater than speaking in tongues. He that prophesies is greater than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpreted. There are different measures. Gifts have different energy measures. Are we together? For example, some of you have the gift of working of miracles, but it has only manifested in your life twice, because it's only twice. Those twice were the times that you were diligent enough to build up power to cause that very, very powerful gift to manifest. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you speak it up, anyhow. Some people will go and fornicate. And they will, when they are repenting, they will be speaking in tongues. There are gifts that they will not be able to manifest at that point. Because what sin does is that every time you sin, it drains your power. Your spirit man is like an unlimited battery. What I mean is that as long as you are willing to charge it, it's willing to store the electricity. I have a power bank in my house. It's 20,000 milliamp hour. That's a very good power bank. But the truth is that no matter how long you charge it, it cannot retain more than 20,000 milliamp hour. Your spirit man is not like that. Now, because that power bank is 20,000 milliamp hour, it can charge an iPad twice. I have another power bank. I think that power bank is either 1,005 or 2,000 milliamp hour. I don't use it. Because if I don't have a phone that it can charge. If I had a touchlight phone, it would be able to charge it. Capacity in the realm of the spirit. The capacity of your spirit is unlimited. It is just how much are you willing to charge. When you hear the word of God like this, what the word of God is doing is that it is increasing your capacity to be charged. Are we together? Praise the Lord. How do I explain this now for us to understand quickly? You know that the electricity that I use to charge this phone, the voltage and the current, for those of us who have a little understanding of electricity, the kind of electricity you were exposed to the battery of that phone, it cannot charge this laptop. And if you take the charger, disconnect the wires of the charger, and connect the positive and the negative of the charger to the positive and the negative of this charger and laptop charger, you know what will happen to the phone? It will blow the phone. There are measures of the power of God. Let me tell you, do you know why some people, before they prophesy, they will first of all fall on the ground and roll? Have you been in such an area? It's because that measure of the power that came, they didn't have the capacity to contain it. So it made them fall. So they were prophesying and as if they were being tortured while they were prophesying. You see them screaming and wailing as if they are being, they're actually in a sense. Because that power, they are not used to that measure of power. The way you increase your capacity is through the word of God. So that's why it can go out as such people. Some of them can pray. They can pray for 9 hours at a stretch. But every time the Spirit of God comes, they will have to fall on the ground and roll, and shout, before the word of prophecy can come through their mouth. The word of prophecy that some people will just be talking and they will just smile and they will just give it. What increases your capacity in the realm of the Spirit is the word of God. That's what increases your ability to be charged faster. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17. They say the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. That's why I'm not going to continue in worship. Let us see a sweet measure of the move of the Holy Spirit here. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. What is the first thing that is mentioned there? Deliverance. Please say it out loud, deliverance. You know, this is a healing, miracle, healing and deliverance service. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. You see, people who are not delivered cannot be holy. And then what? Holiness. There are some people that are addicted, and that addiction to whatever sin it is, whether it is alcohol or immorality or pornography and masturbation, all of those kind of addictions, the source of that addiction is demons. And the reason why they are not holy is that addiction. That addiction. Upon Mount Zion, there shall be what? Deliverance. And what? Holiness. And when there is deliverance and holiness, the house of Jacob, the house of God, shall possess their possessions. What are your possessions? Because you can read this and think that possessing your possession means that God has a plan for you, and which is part of it, but that's not what the scripture is talking about. God, some of you are in this room. You are supposed to own 5 houses in Victoria Island according to the kind of blessing that God has planned to bless you. So when you have entered into your realm of deliverance and holiness, you will possess your possessions. May God deliver us from poverty in Jesus' name. You see, when that prayer is a serious prayer, because you see, you desire the thing that you lack the most. So some people, when they are dealing with God, the only thing they are thinking about is money, because they have been so battered by poverty. And poverty is not just a state of being. No, that's poverty is not just the fact that you don't have money. Poverty is a state of mind. It's a spiritual condition. That's why the Bible says the gospel is preached to the poor. Praise the Lord. Resisted this temptation the second time. It's not a bad temptation. It's a good leading. There's a song that is playing in the spirit. And I want to sing that song, but if I start singing the song, I will not be able to teach. And the purpose of this class is to teach us into dimensions of grace, so that we can walk in the power of Jesus. So the first thing you come in contact with in Mount Zion is deliverance. If you are trying to be holy and you are not delivered, all you will have is religion, religious holiness. So you will see people that don't wear jewelry, but their hearts are full of all kinds of lusts, immorality, and hatred. Because they were not delivered first, before they started talking about holiness. You see people that truly want to be holy, so they are living a miserable life because they are not holy. They truly desire to be holy. And the only problem is that they needed deliverance, because what was responsible, the strong man that was responsible for their weakness, is actually not the flesh, it's demons. And the way you handle demons is by casting them out. It's not by crucifying the flesh. I was saying that last week. The way you handle demons is by casting them out. There are challenges you will face. There are temptations you will face. Because you are still in this body of flesh, you will still be tempted. Amen. Amen. It's true. Don't think that you won't be tempted. You will still be tempted. The devil will still attempt to tempt you. Till you leave this body of flesh, the devil will still attempt to tempt you. And there are temptations that you face that are just because you are in a body of flesh. It's a work of the flesh trying to resurrect the flesh that has been crucified. It has this very annoying way of trying to resurrect the flesh that has died, if you are a child of God. But many times, when you find a believer that is helplessly in bondage to any kind of affliction, whether it is sin or it is demonic manipulation or it is affliction of disease or it is even affliction of failure or any kind of affliction, because there are all kinds of afflictions. There are all kinds of afflictions. Many times, it is not just about the flesh. It's not just about Mr. Flesh. It's about Mr. Demons. And if he's trying to apply the principle of crucifying the flesh to handle a matter that a demon is responsible, he will just discover that it's not happening. The first question I want to ask is, what is Mount Zion? Because the Bible says that we have not come to an ordinary place. We have come to Mount Zion. Have you seen that in your Bible? We have come to where? Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where we come to spiritually when we are gathered like this together under the authority of Christ. It's a spiritual location. And you can access that location from anywhere under heaven. Even if it so happened that you are sitting, I don't know what you want to take you there. Even if you are sitting down inside a shrine, for any reason, we can access Mount Zion from there. There is no power on earth that is strong enough to hinder your ability to access Mount Zion. So the Bible says that we have come to where? Mount Zion. The city of God. Do you remember that place? Now, let me explain to you, brethren, how to access Mount Zion when we come together. That's why It is always wise that when we come together like this, we sing, we worship God, we praise God, and we give thanks. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Which gate is that? Where are you entering? That's Mount Zion. That's where? Mount Zion. And his courts with praise. So whenever the people of God, men and women that have been born of the Holy Spirit, that have the Spirit of God living in them, come together like this, whether it is in a living room or in a place like this, or in the office, and we begin to worship God and praise him and give him thanks, we are entering where? Mount Zion. And the Bible says, in Mount Zion, there shall be what? Deliverance. And there shall be what? Holiness. And then, God's people shall possess their possessions. I was asking that, what are the possessions? It's not 5 houses in Victoria Island. No. It's bigger than that. The Bible says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the riches of the inheritance of the saints, and the exceeding great power of God that is to us ward who believe. You see, there are riches. Bro, to me, if I come here now and I bring out $1,000 and 1,000 naira and I say you should pick one, which one will you pick? No, it's not a trick question. Which one will you pick? $1,000. Why will you pick 1,000 naira? But maybe a child that doesn't know dollars may pick 1,000 naira. Because it's true. You say, he doesn't know that one. This is what he knows. That's what, you see, many believers are children. He said that we no longer be children. When God brings, they pick the 1,000 naira, say, this is the one I know. I've never been to America. That's what you do. You say, this is the one I know. I know his riches, I know. Physical riches, I know. I've never been to all these riches in heaven. Me, I don't know. I've never been to heaven. Give me the one. But you and I know that if you have $1,000, you will get so many 1,000 naira out of it. That is how true riches is. Jesus Christ talks about true riches. He said, if you are not faithful in a righteous mammon, who will give you true riches? So, what are the inheritance? You see, he says that we may possess our possessions. In order for you to lay hold on something, you know, it talks about fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. In order for you to lay hold on something, you must first of all know that it is there. In order for you to tune to that radio station, you must first of all be sure that it is there. Then you start playing around the frequency, 195, the frequency between 195 and 200. You understand what I'm saying? You start tuning to that frequency. When the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, that is when you will be able to lay hold on your inheritance. Peter and John were going to pray, and they met a man that was born lame at the gate called Beautiful. And something beautiful happened there at the gate of called Beautiful. This man was begging them for money. Earthly riches, right? And it so happened that they didn't have money. They were not with money at that point. But they had something. They had true riches. So they said, we don't have money to give you, but we have something to give you. They said, silver and gold we have not, but such as we have. You and I know that it is not everybody that can tell a man that was born lame to stand up and walk, and he will walk. The reason why they could say that in the name of Jesus was so powerful, because the name of Jesus is powerful in the mouth of some people, and the mouth of some people it doesn't mean anything. The reason why the name of Jesus was so powerful that it raised a lame man was because they had something with God. They had stored for themselves riches in heaven. Do you now realize that the authority that comes out of your life, the spiritual authority that comes out of your life, is directly proportional? Listen to me, child of God. There are channels, you know, I talked about spiritual gifts, I explained it, and then I'm talking about this, I have not forgotten. Because there is spiritual gifts, then there is the anointing. Yes. There is the anointing. And there is a way the anointing, there are things, there are demonstrations of the Spirit that can happen through my life, in my life, to cause things to happen through a gift I have received. And there are demonstrations of me that are not through the gift, they are through the anointing. And the anointing can, it comes upon you. Mm-hmm. Am I teaching? What am I saying? It's sounding strange, right? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Remember, we prayed for understanding. So, I talked about that the people of God will possess their possession. Surely, anointing, spiritual gift, grace, wisdom, all of these wonderful things that will make you to live the supernatural life naturally and live this natural life supernaturally, they are your possessions. The older this world is and the older the human race is on this life, the more competition is, the more there is competition in everything. And if you do not understand how to take advantage of the spirit realm, you will be disadvantaged. Let me say that again. If you do not understand how to take advantage of the spirit realm, you will be disadvantaged. You are selling crayfish. I'm just using that as an example. Selling crayfish is not a bad thing. And you are competing with a woman that is selling crayfish, but she also has charms under her table. But you don't have anything. You know that she will soon drive you away from that market because nobody will buy what you are buying. The world is becoming more and more like that. And you, if you know that you cannot go and do what that woman is doing, you better know how to wait on God and how to lay hold on your possession. Because the fact that you are born again does not mean that that woman will not use her charm to overshadow you. You must understand how to lay hold. It says fight the good fight. How do you fight the good fight of faith? You fight it with the word. The Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the shield of faith. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. First it was fragrance, then it turned to fire. My worship is my weapon. This is how I win my battles. Bro, Yemi, remember that? There was one deliverance we did in my living room, and it was that song that we used for that deliverance. Now, the truth was that I had used all the anointing I could muster. This person that we're praying for was not an ordinary person. He was a servant of God. But there was an issue in his life that came from way back. I can say it because I know he wouldn't mind me saying it. His father was a cultist. Or his father is a cultist. And he was born into that system. But God in his mercy picked him out of that darkness. Now, I had done everything I could do. I had deployed all the anointing upon my life. I had used all the spiritual, I had done everything. And all that was left, just following the leading of the Holy Spirit, was that I put my hand on his chest and kept singing that song. And the power of God kept flowing until he was delivered. You were there. I was asking the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, what? Because that song, why is that song so powerful? Because the song is just describing something. The song is not even worshiping God. Do you know the song is not worshiping? The fragrance of my worship moved up to the Father. It's describing something that happened. Noises, thunders, lightnings were the response to my worship. First it was fragrance, then it turned to fire. My worship is my weapon. This is how I win my battles. And I was asking the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, and I didn't get an answer until this morning. Because I knew, even last Sunday, when we were praying for that brother, you know we used that song too. I just know that the Holy Spirit led me to sing that song. It didn't make sense to sing that song. Yeah, I would have sang a worship song because I know what worship does. I know what praise does. Then it was this morning, you know, I said earlier before we started recording that if you learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, many times it will lead you to do things that don't make sense. But you know He's the one leading you. Just do it. Later, as you grow with Him, you will now understand the sense in what He led you to do. And it's God that this thing that looked like nonsense to you is superior to your highest sense. Do you know what that song is? That song is a word of testimony. It's a testimony. It's describing something. What did the Bible say about spiritual warfare? He said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. One of the very potent weapons of war that you have is the word of your testimony. Why do you think when David went to stand before Goliath, and make no mistake, that battle was more spiritual than physical. The Bible says Goliath cursed David in the name of his gods. He wasn't, by the way, that stature that he attained, he didn't attain it normally. I don't want to go into all of that. Praise the Lord. Those Anakim people, they were not ordinary people. But what did David do? He started recounting the things that God had done. Because you face situations and battles in your life that you will need to deploy the weapon of the word of God. The word of your testimony. And then you must also learn how to use the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. When there is deliverance, then there can be holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is the state of being set apart unto God. When I was a child, growing up with my parents, I don't know if families still do that now, but then we had that custom. There was a plate that was meant for my dad. The only person that used that plate was my dad. I didn't use that plate to eat. No other person used that plate to eat. In fact, nobody, it was just not done. Then when we moved to a bigger house where we were able to have a dining table, because we first of all were in a very small house, we had to move to our state. So we had to move to a very small house. They just created our state and all of that. We had dining table where we ate. There was a seat that was meant for my dad. I didn't go and sit down on that seat because I was the son. I was the first son. It was meant for my dad. You see, that plate and that seat was set aside for him. You see, when you understand holiness, it is an understanding of holiness that will make you not be able to use your mouth. This mouth has been set aside for God to say the things you were saying before you entered holiness.